The Exploits of Brigadier Gerard by Arthur Conan Doyle, narrated by Michael Ward. Chapter 1. How the Brigadier Came to the Castle of Gloom. You do very well, my friends, to treat me with some little reverence, for in honouring me you are honouring both France and yourselves. It's not merely an old grey-moustached officer whom you see, eating his omelette or draining his glass, but it is a fragment of history. In me you see one of the last of those wonderful men, the men who were veterans when they were yet boys, who learned to use a sword earlier than a razor, and who, during 100 battles, had never once let the enemy see the colour of their knapsacks. For 20 years we were teaching Europe how to fight, and even when they had learned their lesson, it was only the thermometer, and never the bayonet, which could break the Grand Army down. Berlin, Naples, Vienna, Madrid, Lisbon, Moscow. We stabled our horses in them all. Yes, my friends, I say again that you do well to send your children to me with flowers, for these ears have heard the trumpet calls of France, and these eyes have seen her standards in lands where they may never be seen again. Even now, when I doze in my armchair, I can see those great warriors stream before me. The green-jacketed chasseurs, the giant cuirassiers, Poniatowski's lancers, the white-mantled dragoons, the nodding bearskins of the horse grenadiers. And then there comes the thick, low rattle of the drums, and through wreaths of dust and smoke I see the line of high bonnets, the row of brown faces, the swing and toss of the long red plumes amid the sloping lines of steel. And there rides Ney with his red head, and Lefebvre with his bulldog jaw, and Lannes with his Gascon swagger. And then, amidst the gleam of brass and the flaunting feathers, I catch a glimpse of him, the man with the pale smile, the rounded shoulders, and the far-off eyes. There is an end of my sleep, my friends, for up I spring from my chair, with a cracked voice calling and a silly hand outstretched, so that Madame Titot has one more laugh at the old fellow who lives among the shadows. Although I was a full chief of brigade when the wars came to an end, and had every hope of soon being made a general of division, it is still rather to my earlier days that I turn when I wish to talk of the glories and the trials of a soldier's life, for you will understand that when an officer has so many men and horses under him, he has his mind full of recruits and remounts, fodder and farriers and quarters, so that even when he is not in the face of the enemy, life is a very serious matter for him. But when he is only a lieutenant or a captain, he has nothing heavier than his epaulettes upon his shoulders, so that he can clink his spurs and swing his dolman, drain his glass and kiss his girl, thinking of nothing save of enjoying a gallant life. That is the time when he is likely to have adventures, and it is often to that time that I shall turn in the stories which I may have for you. So it will be tonight, when I tell you of my visit to the Castle of Gloom, of the strange mission of Sub-Lieutenant Duroc, and of the horrible affair of the man who was once known as Jean Carabine, and afterwards as the Baron Straubenthal. You must know, then, that in the February of 1807, immediately after the taking of Danzig, Major Legendre and I were commissioned to bring 400 remounts from Prussia into eastern Poland. The hard weather, and especially the great battle at Eylau, had killed so many of the horses that there was some danger of our beautiful 10th of Hussars becoming a battalion of light infantry. We knew, therefore, both the Major and I, that we should be very welcome at the front. We did not advance very rapidly, however, for the snow was deep, the roads detestable, and we had but 20 returning invalids to assist us. Besides, it is impossible, when you have a daily change of forage, and sometimes none at all, to move horses faster than a walk. I am aware that in the story books the cavalry
Sample complete. Ready to continue?